There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. A reminder, we played the audio from the press conference last hour, but Alabama Department of Public Health coming out and saying a confirmed case of measles up in St. Clair County of a child too young, didn't say exact the age, but I think under 12 months because they couldn't have the vaccine yet. So that's a story, one case in the state. We're watching it, and like we said last hour, I started getting a lot of texts with questions about measles boosters and all that, and I remember the conversation, but better you hear it from the doctor's mouth last week, pretty much just a week ago, on last week's Thursday show. We were talking about this with epidemiologist and a doctor, and that interview is posted up on our podcast page. If you're over there at podcast on fmtalk1065.com, just go to Thursday, Midday Mobile, hour number one, halfway through the 12:30 mark last week, and you can get that interview right there. All right? So just that's over there, and we'll keep you up to date with anything changing on that. And then I want to get to a couple stories. One of them, okay, I'm going to get the strange story out of the way. Not out of the way because it's a first, because I don't want to say it's out of the way, because it's one of the more interesting semi-political animal dung stories I've seen in a long time. Yes, I did just say what you think I just said. From the News Tribune, headline here, man stopped with moose poop at Alaska airport, told agents it's for politicians. With what's going on in Washington today, maybe we need to get a whole big 18-wheeler load of this. It says, one traveler's unconventional carry-on at Alaska Airport this month provided a teachable moment for flyers around the country. Lisa Farbstein, a spokesperson for the Transportation Security Administration, wrote in her Twitter post, yes, you can bring moose poop to a checkpoint. And someone did it last week at the Juneau International Airport. Farbstein went on to say that even though the TSA does not have rules keeping travelers from showing up at security checkpoints with animal droppings, she can't speak for the airlines themselves. So, okay, she's only speaking for TSA. She advised travelers packing poop to check before flying because having to, this is cute, because having to leave souvenir poop behind would be crappy, end quote. TSA wrote in an Instagram post, I like the fact that TSA, they've got the people and the time that they're... Now, they got to get the information out, but some of their stuff going on Twitter, then they're going to the IG, they're going to the Insta with some of their other stuff. TSA writing an Instagram post that, quote, several carriers do have rules in place to avoid smelly situations aboard their planes, end quote. According to TSA, the man's carry-on was flagged at the Juneau International Airport on April 15th because equipment caught, quote, a large organic mass, end quote, in his luggage. They said that could have been a sign of explosive material. Okay, that seems fair. That seems like TSA doing their job there. That's when officers looked inside the bag and discovered a bag of moose poop. The man told them that he collects it and likes to present it for politicians and their bleep policies. So Farbstein shared pictures of the moose droppings there. We can link this through if you need to see those. It says, TSA will screen just about anything people bring to the checkpoint, and it's smart, and if it's more on the unusual side, to check with the airline to see if they have limits or restrictions as it relates on what you want to bring. Which, by the way, it looks like the airline did not have a restriction, and because TSA cleared the moose poop, the guy gets on the plane with the moose droppings. I think it was, they make it seem like it was carry-on. So, I guess it would be because he didn't check. Carry on moose poops. That's the person I'm sitting next to. There you go. So next time, you know, TSA says you can't bring, what, the shampoo bottle is an ounce too big. You can't have deodorant. That could be, but moose poop is fine. Shampoo bottle with a little too much shampoo, can't do that. You can't bring that deodorant, but you got some poop. I think what I'll do is go up to the pasture here and pack myself a big bag full of chips from the cattle and see if I can get on a plane. Hey, Frontier Airline, with all the hype about it, Frontier, can I get on a Frontier flight with that? Is that okay thing? All right, just checking. Just wanted to let you know that that's a thing. And one last thing before we run to the news break here and talk more when we come back about the state parks and this group formed to help Alabama state parks is list up over at AL.com, you know, one of their galleries. This gallery has no one in a bikini. Can't say that about all the galleries for AL.com, but this one, nobody in a bikini, but it's ranking the top 25 high schools in the state of Alabama. I'll get you down to number 12 on the list and count it down from there, because that's where local schools come in. Nothing from 25 to 12, but at number 12 in the list, Fairhope High School, very good. You're getting a 2018 report card grade of A on this list. Number 11, that's not us. Number 10, that's not us. Number 9, that's not us. Number 8, not us. Okay, wait, what's happening here? Number 7, that's not us. Number 6, that's not us. Number 5, that's not us. Number 4, that's not us. Oh, number 3, that's not us down here. Number 2, that's not us. Well, we must be number. No, we're not number 1 either. One school making the U.S. News top high schools per state in our area. Fairhope High School, y'all got it. The rest of us not making the top 25 high schools in the state. All the rest of them are from, closest one would be Montgomery. I'll tweet this out. I want to hear your response to that as well. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Mentioned this a couple minutes ago, and interesting, when I saw this the other day, it reminded me of some of the discussions we've had in the past on funding and what was discussed in the general fund a couple of years ago when it came to Alabama State Parks. And I saw this group, Alabama State Parks Foundation, and it caught my attention how maybe we can step up and help. Lucky Foundation's President Dan Hendricks joining us now to talk more about it. Dan, thanks for your time.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Sean. Thank you.
Hey, so talk about Alabama State Parks Foundation. How long have y'all been around, and then what's the mission statement?
Yes, we were formed last year in January, and then we received our 501c3 status from the IRS shortly before Christmas. And last Thursday, we had a press conference at the Oak Mountain State Park in Pelham, just south of Birmingham, Alabama, and announced our public coming out party. And we're formed principally to be a private public partner of the Alabama State Park System, and we formed a board over an 18-month period, and the board represents all of the major regions of the state. And basically, we're trying to raise money to improve facilities at the parks, increase the number of people who can participate, support program for youth and children, the things of that nature.
I can tell you, I'm a fan of the state park system. I've talked about it in the past. But down here, we get an idea. People think about Gulf State Park and big ones that are down here on the coast. But I explain to people there's so many throughout the state, and they're at different...
Yes, I think I got cut off there,
okay,
Sean.
You still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I was just saying that.
Briefly.
I was just saying that I'm a big fan of the parks, and but I think about the different nature of state parks in Alabama. Down here in our neck of the woods, of course, people think about Gulf State Park, big one, mm-hmm. Gets a lot of attention, a cash cow. But there are some in the rest of the state that may not get as much attention, but I think they should. Are you in doing this, working with parks, are you going to help bring attention to more parks for people in the state? And how do you do that? How do you get people to change if they don't have a habit of using a state park?
Well, we want to gather a community of people who enjoy the parks, they love the parks, and they see the value of the parks for everyone. After all, the parks were formed, and they belong to every citizen of Alabama. And what we're going to do, we've already formed, beginning on Thursday of last week, we began to gather a community of park lovers. We now have 246 people who've signed up from simply from a website to become first friends and founding members. And if people are interested, they can first of all do that. They can go to asparksfoundation.org and they can elect to give, or they can simply indicate to us that they would like to be a first friend and founding member, and we're going to sign them up and begin to mobilize a group of people. They'll be the foot soldiers of a great park movement that we're launching as of last Thursday. But secondly, we have an initiative that we are beginning later this summer. It's called the First Corporate and Business Partners Program. And what we're doing is we are strategically organizing the state into regions, each of which will have parks, and the individuals, the businesses, and even civic organizations, government groups, municipalities that have a stake in that particular park, because the parks are a great asset for communities. They improve quality of life, and they also attract tourists, of course. And we're going to gather those groups of people that love their regional parks, and we're going to talk about leveraging our assets, our finances. And we were very fortunate because one of the individuals who is going to be critical in that initiative is the president and COO of a big company in Birmingham called Buffalo Rock. And his name is Matthew Dent. Matthew came on the board actually last week and said he was delighted to serve in a leadership position. He actually spoke at the conference, the press conference we had. And we're going to try to identify other corporations, businesses, individuals, municipalities that want to join us in this venture. And we're using what is called what I call the Iowa model. They did this in Iowa, and they've been extraordinarily successful throughout the state in mobilizing dollars in this private-public partnership with the parks.
Now, and if you're just joining us, talking with Dan Hendricks and from the Alabama State Parks Foundation, the president, you talk about the public-private partnership. You talk about ways to help out. Is it in building things? Is it in building things in parks? Is it in staffing things in parks? Is it volunteer efforts? I mean, where are your resources going to be placed?
Yes. First of all, we would like to focus on three or four structural matters. The first would be we want to build three at a time, we hope, cabins, because cabins tend to host large family reunions, and people have been doing that, by the way, at the parks for generations. And the Iowa people have done extensive study, and they discovered that if you build parks, you accommodate more people, more park experiences. Secondly, camps for recreational vehicles and even primitive camping is another area that has low maintenance cost, so they're easy to sustain, but they also will host large numbers of people, and we're committed to that as a second. We want to build woodland trails for people who love to hike, biking trails for people who bike, and then we want to support the creation of programs that will serve especially youth and children, because we have a lot of children in this state that live in urban areas, and they oftentimes don't have very much experience in actually engaging nature, as it were. So those are three or four areas that we're going to focus on, and we think they deliver the biggest bang for the buck in terms of increasing park experiences and also paying for themselves.
You know, you had mentioned there that the camp, and I see a camp scholarship where you can send a child to camp. What state park is that going to be? At all state parks, specific state parks? Is it going to be one for the state? How does that work for kids going
to
camp?
Yes, people will give any number of different kinds of gifts. The first and probably most valuable is what's an unrestricted gift, and that means that the park director, Greg Lyon, who, by the way, is a wonderful leader, and he's on our board. He's serving as treasurer of our board. He will have consultation with his parks, and the need for unrestricted funds that are given will go where the need is greatest, and that means that in certain areas where there hasn't been sufficient support for young people and youth coming to camps, we can subsidize that particular expense. But also people can restrict their gifts. They can simply say, we want our gift to go to Gulf State or Cheeha or okay. DeSoto Falls or Oak Mountain, and that money will be sequestered just for that particular park.
Dan, you just say his name, and then you look down, and all of a sudden, hey, Greg Lyne is joining us on the phone line. Thanks for your time.
Great. Glad to have him. Hi, Greg.
Greg, before we go any further here, I want you, can you lay out, you've done this for me in the past when we've talked about it, can you lay out some stats for the state parks in Alabama that you know, for people who have no real concept of what it means for the state?
Sure. You know, we have 21 state parks and 20 counties, and we, you know, within those parks, we have about 48,000 acres of land. We have, you know, campgrounds in almost all of those state parks. We've got 200-plus cabins and cottages. We've now got over 700 lodge rooms in our resort parks. And, you know, we want to see those numbers grow. And the partnering with the foundation is just it's a new tool for us to try and fulfill our mission and serve the public, and it's not something that's new and novel within state park systems in the United States. Most other states already have foundations that support them, and we felt it was time to bring this tool to Alabama and see what we could do to make Alabama state parks better.
Okay, so this is that private-public partnership beyond, like, you know, in the past we've talked about the license plates, you know, things like that. That would be public. This is a different way of doing this, of showing support for Alabama State Parks.
That's correct. You know, there's a lot of options for how citizens of the state or even citizens outside of the state can help the state park system. In Alabama, you know, our citizens have recently had the opportunity to, you know, buy a unique Alabama State Parks supporter tag and put it on their vehicle, and so they're making a financial contribution to the park system when they do that. And when they drive around, they're marketing the park system. There's now a new option to be able to do that with registering your boat, and so those are exciting opportunities. But you know, having the foundation is another way to, again, bring resources to the park system. It still allows for, you know, individuals, as Dan was saying, to be first friends and founding members of this foundation, and they can do that by signing up on the website. But it also gives us the opportunity to engage corporate Alabama and look for ways that we can leverage the state funds and accelerate projects or expand projects and make them better in individual parks. And the foundation's also a means by which we can engage people individually through estate giving. You know, if there's someone out there that doesn't have any heirs and they grew up enjoying the state park system, the foundation is now a new vehicle by which they could plan their estate and perhaps leave something on behalf of the Alabama State Park System that will support the park system in the future.
All right, Greg and Dan, before we just got 2 minutes here before we got to go, but number one, what do you tell somebody who has never been to an Alabama State Park? What's your elevator speech on that? And then remind them once again how to sign up.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities in our state park system, and they're spread from the mountains to the coast. It doesn't matter whether you just want to get out there and enjoy nature, see the trees, breathe the clean air, swim in clean water. All those things are available in our parks, but there's also a vast array of recreational opportunities. There's trails, there's boating, there's golf, there's lots of sporting activity. And of course, you know, we've got these improved overnight amenities, so you can extend your stay in the parks when you go out there. But I think sometimes it's lost on us, and Dan touched on this, that the parks are places of wellness. We go there to be refreshed mentally and physically, and we're proud to have those things for the state of Alabama. We're proud to have those things to serve the tourists that come to Alabama. And the foundation is just going to be a new way in which we can fulfill that mission.
All right. And before we wrap up here, once again, let's remind folks, Dan, how they can sign up, how they can be a partner.
Yes, they can go to our website. It's asparksfoundation.org. And you'll be invited to meet the board. You'll hear more about the mission. There's a thing called the Gift Bay. It's a kind of philanthropic ad page, and it will give you some sense of what it will cost us to build new cabins and other amenities. And we want you to join as a first friend and founding member. You will go down in history as a founding member of the Alabama State Parks Foundation. You can make a gift, or you can simply indicate at this time you would like to join and you'd consider a gift later. So we would love to have you. Please visit the... And if you have any questions, you can contact us directly with a comment, and we'll respond to it. We appreciate it very much. We're launching a great park movement, Sean, and we want people to visit the parks, to value them anew, and also to support us. And we're thrilled to do it.
Fantastic, and good work, and best of luck, and Godspeed on that one. Dan Hendricks, Foundation of the Alabama State Parks Association, and Greg Vine, Director of Alabama State Parks, on with us. We'll put a link up on my Twitter feed to their website. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Text line is open at 343-0106. Always a reminder, if you're looking for podcasts of this show or any of the 40-some-odd hours a week of live local programming we do, they're waiting for you. FMTalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab. Now, we would like it if you subscribe over at iTunes for Apple users, or if you're a Luddite like me that uses a Android device, Stitcher is a good place to go, plus Spotify, TuneIn Radio, all those podcasts waiting for you right now. All right, bring in folks here to talk about what's happening this weekend. Usually, I kind of get into what's happening this weekend on a Friday, but I'm actually getting ahead and doing it now because this is it's a new year, new responsibility. Not going to procrastinate and give you at least a day to decide what you're going to do this weekend. Lisa Davis, co-founder and executive director of A Servant's Love, and Dr. Raul Richardson, ASL board member, in studio with me. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Good day and God bless. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm a day ahead of planning my weekend. Usually, this is something I do in a scattered way on a Friday, so we can do it on Thursday.
We have to be here with you.
Continuous improvement is a virtue.
That's right. I'm trying my best here. First of all, ASL, A Servant's Love. Lisa, what's your group?
So basically, we're a nonprofit organization, and we exist to serve income-challenged individuals and families, teach self-sufficiency through education, and empower through enhanced life skills. And we basically say we want to serve, we want to teach, and we want to empower. And we look at where people are, what their needs are, and we try to meet those needs from a nutritional standpoint. That's what our programs mainly focus on.
And so if you look at like a triage list we have to do in our lives, like what is the, is it a nutritional issue? Is it a job skill issue? What's number one? I know there's a bunch under this, but what's the number one issue affecting people here in our area?
Number one is nutrition. Okay. And food, and the lack thereof. So, and our primary demographics are senior citizens. They're 60 years of age and older, and they qualify for our programs based on their income. Okay. And so that's what we're looking at, and we provide them on a monthly basis with nutritious foods, fresh fruits and vegetables, paper products, fresh eggs, things of that nature, and we don't prepare it for them. Mm-hmm. Most of these people can either cook or have someone that can cook and prepare for them, but it's a way to give them good foods at a cost that they don't have to worry about going to the grocery store to pay for this. Now, it won't take the place of their need to grocery shop, but it is a wonderful supplement to what they have in their pantries.
And this is working with local folks.
working with local people.
This is what we have, when we can give here, and it nothing. I mean, I always get sideways with people. Nothing wrong with, you know, but when the money stays here,
I'm so
that.
Glad you said that, because we've got 200 income challenged senior citizens in our programs, and we've got 11 volunteer sites that work with us, and each site has different numbers of seniors in it. So our sites are from Pritchard to Sims to Grand Bay, Irvington, throughout West Mobile, Mobile County. And we're doing that work with volunteers.
So, right, people here in our own backyard.
In our own backyard.
Now, that's the mission. That is what y'all are doing every day. Now we'll get to the fun part, because y'all got an event coming up on Sunday.
Yes, mm-hmm. We do. You want to tell them about that, Raul?
Oh, yeah, it's very exciting. We're having our Mobile River Food and Music Festival.
I like these things.
Yeah, me too. And we've got a tremendous lineup, and it's going to be at an outstanding venue. The weather's going to be absolutely spectacular. It's at Cooper Riverside Park downtown, just adjacent to the river, obviously,
right,
and the convention center. And we're going to have the Jazz Studio Band, which is a wonderful group of young people that have been performing pretty much all over the area. They came out of a history museum experience we had as far as education and music. And then, of course, we've got the University of Mobile's So Free.
Yeah.
And of course, the University of Mobile is just a hotbed for tremendous talent of all types coming out of there. High praise to University of Mobile and Roger Breland and that crew. And then after we get that all warmed up with those spectacular performances, we're going to follow it up with Yo Jonesy,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, is just lighting it up all over the Gulf Coast area. And then bringing it home as the sun sets on the river with my friends, Roman Street.
Those kids, they're nuts with the flamenco. I mean, the guitar work is like...
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, so this is all, okay, starts at 2, so we'll have music the whole time. Food-wise, tempt me here, what are we doing food-wise?
Mm.
Okay, so food-wise, I'll come in. We've got some wonderful food vendors, and we've asked all of them to keep their prices at a limited dollar amount, so $10 and less, so that everybody can enjoy. We've got Via Del Rey. They're coming with a good Cinco de Mayo flair.
Very good, yes.
We've got Chef Cecil Mars with Salvation Army. We've got a Taste to Remember Bakery, Time to Eat down in Theodore, and we've got Barbecue Blues Restaurant. They're coming in all the way from Choctaw County.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So all of our food vendors, we didn't do too many food vendors because we want them all to be able to come in and showcase what they have, and we want to... want them to sell it out.
So, I mean, this is kind of good because it's kind of a Sunday afternoon vibe. It's enjoy some music, eat some food.
Yes.
Just visit
hang out
with folks.
In the park.
I mean,
enjoy
not
what
like
Mobile has for us.
Yeah, I mean, this is good because it's, you know, limited structure. Just have fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Family-friendly event.
Yes.
You know, so Sunday afternoon, brunch time, maybe right after church.
Yep.
And if the weather even hints at not being kind, Lisa and her team have worked out a alternative venue, which is like literally across the street at the History Museum.
Okay.
If the weather should become inclement, which we don't expect.
I think it looks
like
Dr. Bill said this morning it looks pretty good.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, it looks good.
So.
Yeah.
Now, let me add this. We do have a VIP experience, and that is being catered by Neiman's Catering and Staff Bar Company. So we're going to have something for everybody. So we've got general admission tickets
mm-hmm.
that are $20. Actually, they go up $5 today, I believe. What's the day? The
that's
second
correct.
Or
that's
the
right.
third? Today. So they go up on the third
okay.
by $5.
Okay.
And then we've got a premium ticket. So the VIP, the general admission ticket gets you into the concert,
mm-hmm.
and you can go to all of the food vendors and that thing. The premium ticket is $50. The general admission is $20. Premium is $50. It gets you into the concert, 2 drink tickets, and it also gets you a promotional item for as long as they last. And then for VIP tickets, they're $100. That gets you into the whole VIP experience, VIP seating, 2 drink tickets, the promotional item, and all you can eat from Neiman's, everything in that area, plus VIP seating for the concert.
Have you seen me eat Alex food before? That might be a tough thing. Talk about limited
but
time.
But you're a VIP, Sean, so that's not going to be a problem.
Limited time may be a very short limited time. This is a lot of fun. Okay, somebody wants to buy, whether they buy the VIP ticket or the general admission, how do they do it?
They can actually go online to our website, and it's aservantslove.org/Mobile River Food Music Festival, so MRFM.
But if they get to a servantslove.com,
it's right there on that first page. Yes.
All right, very good.
We've got Eventbrite too.
Yeah. Oh, yes. What? Eventbrite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Eventbrite.
Yeah, yes. It's on Eventbrite, too. Mobile River Food and Music Festival.
All right, so somebody go today, get those tickets, and we'll see you out there for some food, some fellowship, and some great music on Sunday.
Yes.
And thanks so much for having us, man. I really appreciate you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you out there. Lisa Rowell, thank you very much. 142 FM Talk 106.5. We'll check the news and update from the stock market. Then we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 146 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile Thursday style. Glad to have you here. Check us out online, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, Twitter at FM Talk 106.5. And also, of course, while you're on our website, FMTalk1065.com, check out weekend schedules, also the online opinion poll question. Lots more going on, FMTalk1065.com, as we're talking about things going on. It's Lauren Lucky. It's Wayne Dean from United Cerebral Palsy of Mobile joining me back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Always good to be here.
Yeah, we're always glad to make our way over here.
What are we doing? Y'all always come in with something fun. So okay. What kind of fun are we having this time?
We're fishing.
Oh, I've heard this is popular.
It is very popular.
I think we'll get into it one day.
We got a lot of water around here, and we have. It's actually our oldest fundraiser.
Is it really?
Our Hooked Up to Help fishing tournament.
Inshore fishing tournament.
Yeah. I was getting to inshore. You can fish anywhere in Alabama waters.
Okay. So walk me through. This is happening when?
It's actually happening Saturday.
Right.
May the 4th. We have a weigh-in at Ralph and Kaku's on the causeway.
Mm-hmm.
Fishing kicks off basically at, 5 o'clock that morning or daybreak. And you can fish all the way up until the end of weigh-in at 4 o'clock.
Inshore tournament, so we're talking about fish like speckled trout and what categories
speckled
do we have?
Speckled trout, white trout, redfish, and flounder.
Okay.
We also have a speckled trout jackpot.
Okay.
So that is a boat can bring 3 speckled trout.
Okay, it's your best 3 creel?
Your best three
creel.
And you have to have a witness there with you to make sure that you caught them that day on that boat. You know, it can't be... here are these fish, and maybe
right.
we
so normal
these.
Rules, y'all, right. like you're right, supposed normal. To do. You catch them during the tournament. Don't cheat.
Right. And that is a cash prize.
Based on number of participants?
Based on number. All of our other categories, we have real nice prizes, they tell us. So all other categories do receive merchandise, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. Except for our child, we have kids division.
Yes.
We don't want anybody left that likes to fish or wants to fish to be left out. So we give trophies for the kids.
All right, very good, because they like those.
Yes, they're very nice.
Very good. Kinda. Okay, so from all of us, kids, mom, dad, everybody, mm-hmm. can fish in this tournament.
About 3 years ago, we actually had a father, daughter, and wife all won an award in the big tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They took home, I think, multiple reels, multiple rods, multiple ice chests, and they were just cramming them in the back of their SUV.
I like that. I have to call those people and you get a deal on a cooler afterwards.
Yeah, I asked them if they needed to take them on. They said, we'd always use another cooler.
That's right. And this is, you talk about the weigh-in being at Ralph and Kaku's. What about tickets? Online purchase? Do you have to go in person? What do you do?
We have several ways that you can get a ticket. So if you're an angler,
mm-hmm.
You can get a ticket at a lot of bait shops. I think we have a total of 7 to 8 bait shops that have been with us for multiple years.
Okay.
You can go to Jemison's,
mm-hmm.
Out there on the way to Dauphin Island, Cedar Point Pier,
mm-hmm.
Southern Bama Bait and Tackle off DIP, Deer River Bait and Tackle, Scott's Landing on the Causeway, Shirley's Bait and Tackle on the Causeway, and Quint's if you're up in the Saraland area.
And Marshall's in Ballard Battery that sells a lot of boat supplies.
And Tackle This, Shoot That as well. So that's kind of the for the mm-hmm. person who might be in town in the Mobile a little bit closer. I think that Tackle This would be a great place to go, or somewhere on the Causeway That being said, we do have an online ticket that you can get. If you visit our website, ucpmobile.org, you can buy your tickets online as well. So if you don't have the chance to stop in and get your ticket at any of those locations, then you can definitely go ahead and buy that online.
And we'll also sell them to you at the UCP office.
Okay, so we can come by. When's deadline for purchasing tickets? When do we have to have them by?
Have to purchase them if you're going to purchase them in person by the 5 o'clock on
tomorrow.
Friday.
Tomorrow. So yes, tomorrow at 5, you got to have your
But we
okay.
will be...
Y'all don't dawdle.
So don't dawdle, yes. And if... But we will be extending online ticket purchases until about 8 o'clock
okay.
on Friday night.
And it is a rain or shine because people fish in the rain.
Well, the fish are wet, you know. Wet.
That's right. They're wet. And, you know, obviously if it was a hurricane in the Gulf, we would consider, but
right.
So you know, don't wait to see what the weather's like because you got all day to fish, and it's going to be good most of the day.
All right, and when we come in there to weigh in, scales open when?
1 o'clock. One to four. One to four.
And there'll be probably a little bit of a party going on.
Yes,
somewhere
and
nearby.
It's in conjunction with ACFA's tournament as well. So if you are an ACFA person, you can enter your fish into two tournaments. So the same fish has the possibility to win twice.
You hear that, Alabama Coastal Fishermen's Association?
Yes.
Double up to catch up. That's
yep.
going
yes,
on.
Yes.
Let's talk while we have some time here. And I love the story of UCP. And spreading this word to folks around here. Because just get done, you know how I am about charities and what's being done locally. The number of families, this stat has always just left me holding my hat, the number of families affected by what y'all do with UCP in our area.
Yeah, we serve 700 families a month. And that's through all different types of programs, all ages, a number of different types of disabilities. And when we say family, I mean, because when you're working with the family, a lot of the times you're trying to put the best support system that you possibly can into the hands of the entire family. So how to handle different types of training, different types of therapies to mm-hmm. help a child out with something like an early intervention. And then if you look at a program that we're gearing up right now for camp, you know, that's something that is beneficial to the entire family. So we are working at camp. It's the child is going to camp.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of these families, this is something that their kid looks forward to all year. And it might be that the entire family, in a way, looks forward to it all year because they can see that their child is somewhere that is taken care of,
mm-hmm.
that is loved, and then they have a chance to have a little bit of respite mm-hmm. as well. So, I mean, you get kind of... It's a win-win for everybody involved. It's a win-win for also the counselors. It's a win-win for the individuals that get to come. I think I said kids, but I mostly mean like we have adults too
mm-hmm.
for camp. So I say kids, everybody's somebody's kid. My grandmother will tell you I'm still her baby. So, but these are individuals that look forward to camp all year round. And so that is really, we're gearing up for that right now. We're gearing up for graduation. We have our preschool. And
oh, yes.
That is something that we all look forward to each May because we get to see our preschoolers that we've worked with, a lot of them, for 2 years. And you see them as a three-year-old starting at our preschool in the first classroom, and they have their goals that they have to set. So each child has their individualized plan. Well, after you see this kid grow up for 2 years and you get, they work in the same, they have their preschool in the same building where Wayne and I have the privilege to work.
Mm-hmm.
So they sometimes are doing their therapy in the hallways that I'm sitting at my desk. Well, if you need a reminder for what you're doing this for,
mm-hmm.
that's about as good as it's going to get right there.
Yeah, and I always say my office is the best in the building because I'm right on the corner by the preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids will come by and talk to me and we'll interact. Sometimes they'll wander in the office. And it's just amazing, to, as Lauren said, to see the progress of these kids over the two-year period or whatever time we have them in preschool. And each one of them is an individual. Some may have motor skill problems, some may have speech, but they all become part of a team, more or less, in that classroom. And the other children learn that they're different, but they're the same. They're their friends. And I know the teachers always talk, let's go see your friend. And we actually have some children from time to time that have no disabilities that come to our preschool.
Really?
And it gives that, again, that socialism, social aspect of it, where you come in and you are intermingling with people that are not like you. But you become friends, and they become, you see how even without a real disability, you have disabilities too. That you can do things that they can't do, but they can do things possibly that's not in your, as we were talking before we went on there, horses for courses. Everybody has something that they can excel
in. That's right. What a great lesson there. And that's why it's always that, you know, I think about the 700 families, and like you said, Lauren and Wayne, that you think there's two or three people, or however many people in that family, the magnified effect of what UCP is doing.
And some of these are large families, and some are maybe a single family. I'm going to jump right in on that one. I love that number too.
Yeah, let's talk once again too about the camp. When does camp start?
Camp is I don't have my calendar right in front of me, but it's the last week of June, okay, and then 3 weeks throughout July. So each week
where
of
do y'all
camp,
hold camp?
It is at Camp Grace.
Okay.
Each
great
week
facility
of camp is a different age group. So it starts at 5 and it goes all the way up to 50. And we have camp has been around for, I mean, years and years and years and years, I think 30 plus. And there are some campers that have been going since they were 12, and they are now in their 40s and 50s.
Wow.
And, you know, these are grown people that look forward to this every year. And, you know, we had an opportunity to have a camper speak to a couple of members of our board and some of our volunteers, and just we invited people out to come and hear this, campers, counselors, people involved with UCP. And this camper, when he was speaking about it, he was so eloquently spoken, and he said, you know, this is a time that I can come and I have friends that are experiencing what I'm experiencing, and they understand what I'm going through like nobody else does. And to be able to have that friendship and that kinship with people like me, he said, it's very, very important to me to be able to experience this every year and every summer. And so that was kind of, even working with it, to hear him and speak about that and the impact that it had on his life, it's a very special place. They call it Camp Smile, and I think that's very aptly named.
That's why we need to step up and help out and have fun. Once again, get your tickets for the fishing tournament happening on Saturday. But anything you could do to help out these folks, helping out our families right here with UCP of Mobile. Lauren, Wayne, thank you for your time. Thanks for
thank
being
you
here.
Okay, always good to be here, Scott.
And we'll see you out there when we go fishing.
Okay.
All right. Very
catch
good.
A big one.
How many coolers can I win?
You can win as many as you can get.
Yeah, if you enter in all four categories, I guess.
You could win four.
If you won all four.
I'm going to open a cooler shop. All right, 159. Out of here, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Y'all have a great one.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 106.5.